Yo, what up, this Wine Clef
with Mary J.
I'm about to serenade the girls with my acoustic guitars, you know what I'm saying? Yo, fellas having problems with the chicks, I want you right now to turn the lights down low. Pull your girl up next to you, I want you to say these words.
If Steph comes for me tonight, girl, I want you to know that I love you. And no matter how tough I would have been, only to you I would reveal my tears. So tell the police I ain't home tonight. Messing around with you is gonna give me life. But when I look into your eyes, man, you're worth that sacrifice. Love that my mom used to warn me about, man, I'm in trouble, I'm in real big trouble. If this is the kind of love that the old folks used to warn me about, man, I'm in trouble, I'm in real big trouble. I need y'all to do me a favor. Someone please call 911.
Pick up the phone, yo.
Tell them and the bullets in my heart, and it's piercing through my soul.
I'm losing blood, y'all.
Feel my body getting cold. Someone please call 911.
Pick up the phone, y'all.
The alleged is selling his 5'1", and she shot me through my soul. What's
up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lem. I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today I'm sitting with Martin Alberto Gonzalez. He's the author of 21 Miles of Scenic Beauty and then this Oxnard. Kind of stories and testimonies by him, Martin Alberto Gonzalez. So before I go any further, I gotta thank the person that made it happen, you know. Without her, I don't know. I mean, me and him wouldn't have crossed paths. And I think that would have been pretty, pretty sad. So, shout out to her. Name on Instagram is Liz La Pepper. Yeah, apparently they were classmates at CSUN. So, yeah, man, shout out to you. Hopefully, you're listening to this episode. If not, that's pretty fucking sad, right? All right, but yeah, so, I mean, this interview is fucking... it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was in my own head. Most of the time, because this is a big deal for me. I've never had an author. Now, to me, it's a big deal. Like, writing a book is a fucking big deal. I'm like, I can't even write an essay, you know? I don't know if I'll ever write a book. Basically, the book is about Oxnard. He's trying to shine a light on Oxnard that, you know, he's trying to disprove. He's trying to tell you, like, there's beauty in these things. And I still haven't finished it, so I'm sorry, Martin, you know. But I'm going to finish it. So, you know, he's doing something really, really good, something very interesting, where for every book you write, he has a list of students that want to read the book. So for every book you buy, he'll donate a book to one of these students. So go out. It's at Amazon.com right now. All you have to just type 21 miles of scenic beauty and it should pop right up. Full disclosure, I do say something that might seem offensive to some. So I do apologize if I do offend you. All right, now to talk a little bit about my week. I'm still moving, guys. That's fucking sad. I'm still moving my bed, all the important stuff, you know, my TV, you know, things that I can't live without. You know, first we moved in, we got like the cooking stuff, and now it was my turn, you know, to bring all my stuff. And man, that took up the whole weekend, guys. I know to some it might not seem like a big deal, but to me, I mean, I've never lived away from home, and it was me trying, you know, like something new, new year, new me type of deal. But I don't use those words, you know. I'm above it, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know, guys. Fuck it. So I needed change in my life, right? Still need change in my life. the podcast brought that to me. Like, now I kind of have an idea of what I want to do, but I still really don't know. And moving out to me was like, you know, fuck it, like, gotta step out of my comfort zone, and I gotta see what I mean, if I could do this on my own, you know, if I could survive on my own. And so far it's been, what, 9 days, 10 days, and I'm still here, survived. I'm a little hungry, but that's because I didn't buy groceries. But yeah, so that's pretty much my whole week. So it's just been working, I'm doing the podcast. I might make a special episode where I have people's questions, but I do need your guys' help for that. I need you guys to send them fucking questions, all right? Before I go any further, I just want to give a huge, huge shout out to Pork Chops. She came through again, guys. She's coming through like a champ, you know? Some may say that she's my number one fan. Hey, I don't know if there's a bigger fan out there. You guys gotta have to duke it out between you two, because she left a comment, and on top of that, she sent some questions. She sent a question. You know, at first I didn't know what she meant, but either way, I'm gonna answer whatever she wrote. For Poor Chops wrote, I was wondering what your goals for the podcast. What are your goals for the podcast? So my goals for the podcast is basically, I want to break out of this where I'm at right now, which I'm a nobody, and I want to be a somebody. You know, I think that's understandable, right? I hope to be on everybody's phone one day. I have a little basic setup, and I want to hopefully, like, I want to get a legit studio, you know, and record out of there, because you guys might not, I hide them, like, you hear the music, and I'm sorry if it's a little loud. It's because there's an echo in this room that I'm at right now. And I use the music to hide the echo. On some parts it might be audible, but you know, I'm trying my best, guys. I'm trying to do little tricks here and there. She also wrote, I know you said you wanted to go on Spotify. So what, if anything, you what would change in your podcast once you get into Spotify? So basically Spotify to me, it symbolizes that I made it, you know, in a little way, you know, that I'm getting some recognition, because Spotify is humongous, you know, like iTunes used to be humongous, but iTunes is like on an iPhone, and I guess they're breaking in. They got their app on for Samsung. I guess you could download it at the Google Play Store, but Spotify is, you know, you can listen to your iPhone and Samsung, whatever, Android, whatever you have, you know. So to me, it's one less thing I have to do, because right now I have to upload it both to Spotify. I mean, I have to download it to iTunes, and I got SoundCloud. But if I was on Spotify, I wouldn't need to download it to all these different places. It'll just be on Spotify, and like the who I pay for to carry my recordings will just distribute it on all those platforms. Right now I'm on Google Play, SoundCloud, and iTunes. So. And then plus it will mean, like, to me it means that I got some sponsors, because none of this shit's cheap, guys. Like, this, all the money that I put in is out of my pocket, you know. Thank you for everybody that I already sent out the stickers, so you guys should probably be getting them in a couple of days. But thank you for everybody that wanted a sticker, you know. To me, you guys want a sticker means you enjoy the podcast. I hope to make money off of this, you know. Like, right now I guess it's a hobby, but you know, I really love it and enjoy it. So if this was something I could do, like, for a long time, like, get to know people, talk to them, and like, I could make some money from it, man, that'd be fucking awesome, you know. But unfortunately right now I know where I'm at, and that's not where I'm at now. But once I hit Spotify, I'm kind of connecting it to, I also have a sponsor that they'll pay for that. They'll pay for me to be on Spotify and to be all these different platforms, you know. Also, I mean, if you guys have any clue of what the fuck, if you feel like I can improve it somehow and you know how to do it, I would really, really appreciate that. You know, I really would appreciate you guys sending me them tips and, oh, you know, do this, do that, do this, whatever, you know. Because, you know, I feel like this is our podcast, you know. And Martin, he's amazing, you know, just writing a book is a big, big fucking deal. And he's not profiting off of this book, you know. He's actually trying to get his doctorate. So this is just his side hustle, you know. And on top of that, he's going to donate, like, the funds that he gets from this, he's going to donate and invest into making audiobooks from it, you know, and he's gonna translate it into Spanish, you know, like shit like that. Like, come on, guys. Like, Martin, he fucking published it on his own. He doesn't have anybody. Nobody's paying him for his work. All the money that he gets, all he's trying to do is get his money back. And then on top of it, he's gonna donate it, you know, like you don't go to Nike and ask for a hookup. So like when Martin gave me a book and I told him I'll pay for it because I know how hard is it to do this shit, you know, like all my guests, like I offer to buy their stuff, you know, their merchandise, because I don't like taking gifts from them. I mean, it's a gift enough for them to be on my show, on this podcast, you know. I mean, I hope that they get publicity, you know, at least like somebody is interested in them enough that they'll have them on their show, on their podcast, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, like, I just want to get them a little exposure. That's all I really, really want. Please keep leaving comments and reviews. Please leave them stars and please recommend me to your friends. Like, give them a chance to, like, be disappointed, guys. Or, I don't know. All right, guys. So, you know what? That's a lot of talking. All right, guys. Well, make sure you leave them comments, reviews, recommend the book. If you get the book, and listen to the podcast at the same time, so you understand what we're talking about, because we do talk about the book. I did read some of the book, guys. All right. I'm admitting I didn't get to read it all, you know, but I read some of it and I enjoyed it a lot. So that's it. That's my time. I appreciate you guys giving me a chance. And yeah, read the fucking book.
I'm on vacation every single day because I love my occupation. I'm on vacation every single day, every single day. Every single day. My future bright, so thankful for everything. Rejuvenating my inner light as I work hard for all I need. Open arms, embracing life and all of which you gave me. Hard work, it pays off, I'm happy now, it's paying me. Close my eyes sometimes and feel as if I blow away. I love the life I live and enjoy the ride along the way. I'll make a living out of living, yeah, that's what I say. I got one life to live and I wouldn't live in no other way.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. Today I'm sitting with Martin Alberto Gonzalez. He's the author of 21 Miles of Scenic Beauty and then this Oxnard Counter Stories and Testimonies. I got it right.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, he's the author of this book. Man, to me, it's super exciting. I've never been this hyped up, I guess. Like, I feel important, you know, and there's a lot of pressure, guys. He drove from Oxnard just to come and record this. Tell me a little bit about yourself. First of all, where are my manners? How are you?
I'm well. I'm chilling right now. It was a nice drive up here. Not too much traffic. I got here a little bit early, so I got to see San Pedro a little bit more. Uh-huh. I've heard a lot of good stories about San Pedro, and it was nice to see people skateboarding out here.
All right. Do you skate?
I used to skate.
Yeah?
I used to skate, but, you know, I moved to upstate New York.
Okay.
Where it snows, 10 months out of the year.
Yeah. I know it's snowing over there right now. Like, I have a friend that lives over there. Mm-hmm. So he's taking pictures. I was like, oh man, I'm over here all toasty.
That's how it was with me too. The first 2 weeks were like, oh my God, it's snowing, I love it. But then the snow remained for like months and months and months. And I'm like, it was supposed to be summer now.
y'all
messing with my brain.
I don't know. You used to live in Oxnard and now you live in New York. But before I get into that, like, tell me about yourself, you know? I want let the listeners follow with you, you know?
Yeah. So my name is Martin Alberto Gonzalez. Technically I was born in Orange County, but my parents moved to Oxnard when I was 6 months. So I don't remember anything about Orange County. So a lot of times, you know, lecho crema los tacos, and I say born and raised out of Oxnard, because that's all I know. And so I am a first generation Mexicano, Chicano, and I'm the youngest of seven.
Oh shit.
Yeah, the youngest of seven, one girl and five brothers.
Were they born here too?
Some of them were born here, the others were not.
No, I mean like LA, I guess, Orange County?
Yeah, pretty much like that. Kind of like raised in Oxnard.
Okay.
Raised in Oxnard, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and so Oxnard is just a city that I've learned to love over the years. that wasn't always the case for me. We didn't have the most money, so we just adjusted to what, you know, what we worked with the scraps that we were given.
Where's Oxnard? Because not a lot of people know where that is.
Yeah. So Oxnard is almost directly between Santa Barbara, which a lot of people know, the beaches, you know, it's kind of rich out there, and Los Angeles.
Okay.
So that's how I explain it. It's an hour south of Santa Barbara and an hour north of Los Angeles. All right. And you'll see it right there. It's near the beaches. I mean, it's a beach town.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have beaches there.
You know what? You asked me if I've been there before. Did you guys throw an avocado festival over there by any chance?
We have strawberry festival.
Oh, no. Then I didn't go over there. Yeah, I went to an avocado festival somewhere over there.
Mm-hmm.
And Fresa is somewhere over here. So, yeah. So, but I mean, what is... I mean, obviously... By what you're sponsoring now, Oxnard might be known for strawberries, but what are they also known for?
So,
you could be bad reputation, good reputation, whatever you want.
I got you. So, I've been doing a lot of traveling, and every time I travel, the first time I left California, I would tell people that I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay.
And then the people who knew about Los Angeles were like, "What part of Los Angeles?" And so they stumped me, like, "Homie, I'm not really from Los Angeles." Yeah, like, damn, I didn't think you were gonna check me like that, right?
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what? Nah, forget that. I need to start representing my city. Right. Oxnard. I want to put Oxnard on the map. So if you don't know anything about it, you can research a little bit about it too.
Yeah.
And so then I've been doing my research. Every time I meet somebody, I ask them, do you know where Oxnard is? Do you know anything about Oxnard?
Yeah.
And the people who know about Oxnard, they hit me with four different responses, right? First one is Las Fresas. Oh, it's an agricultural city. All y'all do is, you know, do fields and this, isn't that. That's not all we do. It's more than that. But, you know, that's the representation that we get. The other one is boxing. Boxnard. Yeah. We have some of the best boxers coming out of Oxnard, right? Growing up, I used to watch Fernando Vargas.
Uh-huh.
Fernando Ferocious Vargas. We have Roberto Garcia, right? We have Danny Garcia. We have Mikey Garcia. Some people who train in Oxnard but don't train and also grew up in Oxnard but may not claim it anymore, right? So far we have... And then we have the beach, La Playa. And then last but not least, which in my book I talk a lot about, is La Colonia, which is a barrio in Oxnard.
Uh-huh.
But in that barrio also stems a gang, La Colonia Chiques.
Oh, wow.
So people remember Oxnard for that.
For those four things.
But I argue in my book that the gangs, or La Colonia, right, which has a negative reputation, right, dangerous community, overrides all that.
Oh, really?
So they say, we know Oxnard for strawberries, but it's kind of dangerous.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
so
yeah,
we don't
yeah.
go. Because, right, you hear the gangs, you hear the cholos, this and that. So, se asustan.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
Exactly.
Everywhere is known for that. I mean, Wilmington is known for violence. I mean, Long Beach is known for violence. I mean, Snoop Dogg came out of, like, Compton is known for violence. Mm-hmm. Like, anywhere you go, there's going to be violence. Like, you know, like, you can't just judge it off of that, you know? Like,
exactly.
I mean, my advice, go there and see for yourself. And if you get shanked or something, then make that, then that
but you shouldn't have stared at somebody that way.
You could always tell them you got pretty eyes and hopefully they don't shank you, you know. Or give them a compliment. It's always nice to, you know, hear something.
So that's exactly what I'm trying to do with my book.
Uh-huh.
Is we know Oxnard for these four things for the most part.
Yeah.
But we know that one of these things ruins the entire reputation. Because there's a lot of beautiful stuff going on in Oxnard. Yeah.
What are they also known for?
From what my understanding, we have a professional skateboarder that comes out of Oxnard, Moose.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Moose. My mom actually babysat him growing up.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know he was like that with skateboarding. But yeah, we have skateboarders, we have skate parks. I mean, we have the thing that is most known for, the thing that I see the most out of it is the beautiful brown people. La raza, the undocumented people that are working in the fields.
Yeah.
Those are the people that I pay homage to every single day. Our high school was located in the middle of the fields. Right? In the middle of the strawberry fields, in the middle of the sugar beets fields.
Oh, that's what's
so
up.
As soon as, like, when we, and you'll read about it in my book, but we would pass by the fields.
Yeah.
I would go to school early because I was doing football. Uh-huh. And at 6 in the morning, they were already out there working.
Dang.
And I would beat them coming out. And I was doing football, so I would leave the school like 5:36, and they'd still be out there.
Fuck.
I'm like, yo, what's going on here? Talk about hard work.
Yeah.
Talk about hard work.
Yeah.
It just blew my mind. It blew my mind.
Do you get to pick strawberries for fun, like in like lunch or something?
I mean, you can. Like some of the track and field people, they were sending them to go run around the fields,
okay.
right? And then, you know, I'm assuming they would stop by, you know, get some fresas here and there, whatever.
I don't know. If it might not even be the there's a movie about like it's a running, like I don't even know the name of the movie, but it's oranges.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it close? Like, to, is it your rival?
Nah. Well, I mean, I guess, right? Thinking through like a capitalistic perspective, yeah, right? Thinking about money, I guess it could be a rival, right? Yeah. But I know exactly what you're talking about. It's not Bakersfield, but it's near Bakersfield.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like El Paso.
No, El Paso's in Texas.
No, not El Paso.
It don't matter, guys. Go check it out. Google movie about oranges, track team, and this should pop up. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. You know, I don't want to derail you. You know,
for what you're talking about. I got you.
Yeah, so, man, like, I read your book. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I read a chunk of it, but not really the whole thing, you know. But what I did read is a lot of, there wasn't, like, you referenced that not a lot of, like, people get an education after high school, you know. Mm-hmm. Or they don't even finish it. But you, like, you mentioned earlier, like, you went, you're studying in New York, right? Like, what are you studying over there?
Yeah, so
what university are you going to, first of all?
Yeah, so I go to Syracuse University.
Oh, wow, that's a big school. Like, I know movies mention it, so I know it's legit.
Yeah, I guess, man, yeah. But you're right. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the college-going rates in Oxnard later on.
Okay.
But, so I did my undergrad, my 4 years, my first 4 years out of high school, I did at Cal State Northridge.
Okay.
And there was where I was influenced in the way that I thought about the world and the way that I thought about humanity, right? About humans, about how do we treat each other. And technically, I majored in sociology and psychology in Northridge,
uh-huh,
but I was raised by ethnic studies folks.
Okay.
Right? So I took a lot of classes in Asian American studies. I took a lot of classes in Chicano studies. I worked for the Chicano studies department. So just having conversations with them on a daily basis influenced what I was bringing to the table in sociology, what I was bringing to the table in psychology. And I started noticing that as a society, we front and we say that education is the way to a better career. Right? That's what I've been told my whole life. And I'm like, but this isn't happening. This isn't happening in my community. We ain't giving those opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I told myself, I think if I throw in a little bit of sociology, a little bit of psychology, a little bit of ethnic studies, I think I may have a good case in education. All right. So that's what I did from Northridge to Syracuse. So right now I'm getting my doctorate. Mm. I'm getting my PhD in Syracuse in education.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, you know, shout out to my department because my department is drastically different than the other departments. So my department is Cultural Foundations of Education at Syracuse University.
Man, those are a lot of words, bro. Yeah. Like, can you tell me exactly what you do? Because you lost me.
No. Yeah. So what I do is I study education. So
I got that part.
Okay. All right. So let me break it down like I break it down to my little nephew.
Cool.
All right.
Even if you could see like your baby nephew, I'll do
it. All right. Then. All right. So I got you. So I'm going to be a doctor.
Oh, cool.
As soon as I hit people who aren't as educated,
yeah.
They say, you're gonna be a doctor, let me get some marijuana, this isn't that, right? Nah. Let me prescribing. And I was like, it's a different type of doctor.
Yeah.
I tell them I'm gonna be performing surgery and education.
All right, got you.
That's my field, right? Uh-huh. So pretty much the doctor means that I'm a specialist in education, so much to the point that I studied it so much that it's like, okay, he's a doctor in that field.
Yeah.
So what I do is I look at the rate, the college going rates, and the college retention rates, right? So what's it going to take for Latino students, Latinx students, right? To stay in college. Uh-huh. How can we get them there, and how can we keep them there, and how can we support them so that they have a positive experience? Mm-hmm. Because you know how you say Syracuse is a big school, you know, the University of Michigan is a big school.
Yeah.
They're not the most welcoming spaces for Latinx students.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're a little bit hostile.
Yeah.
A little bit hostile for people. Not a little bit, a lot of bit. A lot hostile.
I mean, just off of what you're saying, like, wow, like with this right now, with the times where like political correctness, all this stuff, like I could see that you're going to be like successful because you're adding, like, you just added Latinx. I see like you have a different mindset, like, you know, you're trying to be more inclusive to different people. The doctorate, like, are you gonna go into Oxnard and trying to change lives there, or what's the plan for that?
So the cool thing about the doctorate is that it's the highest degree you can get, right, in the United States as of now. It's the highest degree. So as soon as you have that degree behind your name, it sucks that the world works this way, but you're automatically given credentials, right? So you're automatically qualified to do something, even though that may not always be the case, right?
Yeah.
Automatically giving that benefit of the doubt, you know what you're doing, this is and that. So I definitely want to, I know that puts me in a position to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make a difference through a university. So what I want to do is I want to teach at a Cal State.
Okay.
Cal State University, because those are the universities that attract the students that are coming from my, you know, from my community.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The students who don't think they're good enough for UCs.
Yeah.
The students that are barely getting into the university with a 1.8 GPA.
Oh, wow.
And so as soon as I get my hands, as soon as they put me into a CSU, a Cal State University,
uh-huh.
I'm going to try to create a pipeline.
All
right. Right? Try to create, you know, by workshops, by just getting people together.
Trying to fill those cracks, right?
Exactly. That's what, yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, the educational pipeline is leaking, right? Yeah, you got the cracks. Yeah. So try to fill those cracks.
So, I mean, you wrote on your book, it's cool if I reference your book, right?
Of course, right, please.
You wrote that, not surprising, nearby high schools do not appear to equip students with the appropriate skills and requisites for a higher education. Like, what made you pursue a higher education, you know?
Okay.
Since like the schools didn't prepare you, like, what made you want to pursue it?
All right, so check this out. So I come from a lot of privilege in my educational, you know, in my schooling, because when I was a freshman, I was selected to be in a college going program.
Oh, cool.
That a lot of schools didn't have. A lot of schools did not have this program. And I purposely don't mention the name of the program, because the program is doing something that the school should be doing for everybody from the get-go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, I don't want to praise it, because, like, you're just doing something that, yeah, we should have been doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyways, I was privileged. They selected me to be on that program. And it wasn't because I was smart. You know, nah, that wasn't it at all.
Because you applied.
It wasn't that either. It was because I was a first-generation Mexicano poor student.
All
right. That's what got me in. Some people are, like, smart, and they'll test their way in.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
I was just like, homie, you poor, you a first-generation, you win, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the qualification for that was like, damn, you know, by default, I'm in, right?
I mean,
so,
that's good for you.
Exactly.
But, you know.
So I don't know if you got into this story yet. But if you want to go, you don't want to go straight to it. But as soon as you're going to hit the story, El Tesoro, my mom calls me Tesoro.
Uh-huh.
I talk about that. I talk about how, like, when I go to parties, you know, family functions, my tías, my tíos, they're like, you're the bookworm, you're the bookworm. And I was like, nah, I'm not the bookworm. I got some privileges. I got some resources. I got information that my siblings didn't get.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happened.
But why is that?
Because that program is exclusive. Let me explain to you the situation. So this program not only told me the information that I needed to go to college, but it provided resources. So let me give you an example of how it works. In psychology, and it's going to get hella theoretical right now, but I got you. I'm going to break it down for you. All right, here goes. So in psychology, there's this concept that's called self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, this is what it means. If I tell you every day you're going to become a doctor, you're going to become a doctor. Eventually, you're going to internalize it and become a doctor.
Okay.
But I don't like that idea. Let me tell you why I don't like it. Because it's very difficult for me to tell you every single day that you're going to become a doctor, but yet I don't provide any resources for you to become a doctor.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Like, so let me tell you, you're going to become a doctor, but I'm also going to give you classes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the information you need to make sure you're on the right path to become a doctor. And then you can internalize it, and then you can become something, right? You can become that doctor that I'm telling you every single day.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I say is that we need a structurally self-fulfilling, right? Like a structurally supported self-fulfilling prophecy, where we tell students that they're going to go to college, but we also provide the information, the little scholarships when they apply to schools. We provide the resources too. So that way it's guided and they have concrete pathways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know, man. Like, you're inspirational as fuck. But like, who... Like, I mean, did you have like a role model, like a guiding, like a guide, a mentor type of deal? Like, or have you always been this knowledgeable, you know?
Well, I wish I could say that everyone, the people that I admire, were this knowledgeable.
Uh-huh.
But it was just observations that we made that like changed the script, right? That messed with our framework, so to speak. And so, like, let me give you an example. Like, I'm the youngest of seven. It's a privilege to see my older siblings grow up.
Okay.
Because I started noticing that things were happening that were different, that were happening to me.
Okay, yeah.
And so I learned a lot from the decisions that were made for my students through the schooling practices that were happening for them. Not my students, but my siblings.
I was like, what are you teaching right now?
No. I do teach, but I'll tell you that later.
Yeah.
But my siblings, right? Uh-huh. My siblings. And so, like, I think the first time I got like an epiphany, right? Where it's like, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
Was when I took a class in Asian American studies.
Okay.
Right. And it was with Dr. Tracy Buenavista. Changed my life, that class. It was called Critical Race Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much what it said was, we know the world how it is now, but now let's just envision it as if race was the first thing that mattered. Let's just hypothetically speaking, just think that race is really important. And once I started noticing that, once that was brought into my framework, I was like, I mean, this is not far from truth. Like, it's interesting that my older brother that was really dark was kicked out of school really fast.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, damn, this is kind of starting to make sense, even through my own experiences, right? I've noticed that I've been pulled over just because I'm wearing a hat backwards. Or I've been pulled over because I'm doing this and that, right? Yeah. And for me, it was normal teenager behavior. But other people who are seeing me from the outside, it's like, no, he's up to something no good, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's up to no good. So it was kind of like just learning from those observations and then like growing, you know, being educated, but not educated doesn't mean schooling, but it's just being educated by people who've been through the struggle and have been reflective about it. Mm-hmm. Because some people can be through the struggle, get out of the struggle, and then talk shit about the struggle.
That's true.
But then there are other people who've been in the struggle, get out of the struggle, and go back to try to fight the struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
And so learning from those people who come back is like, nah, it's something else. It wasn't just me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't just the smartest.
Yeah, it's just changing it within, right?
Exactly. To see what's going on.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about your book, all right? What inspired the title, you know? The 21 miles. Like, tell me a little bit about the title, you know?
Yeah, so the title, for those people who are from LA, Santa Monica area, and it may look familiar. It may look familiar. You might have seen it somewhere, and you probably have. If anybody knows the Pacific Coast Highway, the PCH, you take that one down from Los Angeles to Santa Barbara, you'll pass through Oxnard. But before you pass through Oxnard, you pass through Malibu.
Yeah.
What do we know about Malibu?
The beaches, the money.
Mm-hmm. That good stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The beauty.
Yeah, yeah.
So right before you hit Malibu, there's a sign that says Malibu, 21 miles of scenic beauty.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the first story in my book is a joke about that sign because... Yeah, yeah. As soon as those 21 miles end, the beauty ends, and you enter Southside Oxnard. So you better do that U-turn. You better work your way back to Santa Monica. I mean,
that's how you know you went too far.
That's how you know when you went too far. Like, hold on. Like, yeah, right?
I was trying to go to the beach real quick.
Right? So it was kind of like, yeah. So you hit Southside Oxnard, and what I'm saying in my book is that's beautiful too.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not being told that. Mm-mm. You're not being told that. And so if you take a look at the back cover of my book, you see a sign. You see a sign and it says Oxnard, 15 miles of beautiful brown people.
Oh, that's what's up.
To try to switch up that framework, up how people are thinking about Oxnard, how us as residents are thinking about Oxnard.
Yeah, yeah.
At one point, I was like, I'm trying to go to Malibu. That's where I'm trying to live.
Yeah.
Right? I'm trying to live in Malibu. But then I was like, damn, there's a lot of beautiful things happening here in Oxnard, too.
Yeah.
And I never paid attention to them.
Yeah. I mean, to talk about that, like, that's the same thing about Wilmington. Like, now I don't live in Wilmington, but I am, like, I claim Wilmington, you know, and this podcast, that's how it started. Like, that's where, my roots, that's where it's at, you know. Mm-hmm. I try to bring up people from the city of Wilmington because for the same reason, like, a lot of people don't know, first of all, like, it's the same thing. Like, you tell them, oh, like, where do you live? Oh, I live in Wilmington. They know Carson, they know San Pedro, uh-huh. But they don't know Wilmington. But Wilmington, it's the heart of the harbor. Everything that you're wearing, everything that you use on a daily basis, it comes through here. It comes through the city of Wilmington. But nobody knows where the fuck it's at.
That's exactly.
So, I mean, I feel you in that sense. Like, you know, we're in the struggle kind of like trying to educate people. Like, you know, like there's an important thing here that you guys are, like, you're missing, you know, like you're overlooking over. Help me with the word I'm trying to say.
Overanalyzing?
No, not overanalyzing. That's too smart, bro.
Oh, no. You're saying, you're overlooking. You're right. You're right.
Overlooking. Damn. I only got my GED yesterday, bro.
There you go.
Right, but, like, let's talk about the book again. You know, I do that a lot, and hopefully you don't mind.
But right. Can I add to that, though?
Oh, add.
Because there's a story in my book that kind of describes what you just said. Uh-huh. And the story in my book is titled Stay Classy Oxnard. That's what it's titled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so what this story was inspired through Instagram.
Yeah, I was gonna talk about that too.
Have, okay, like, so let's talk about it later then.
Yeah, so why did you quote on Chinua Achebe? I don't even know how to say that.
Yeah, Chinua Achebe.
Can I read this?
Yeah, please. All right,
it says, until the lions have their own historians, the history of the hunt will always glorify the hunter. Once I realized that, I had to be the writer, had to be the historian. It's not, man, you whatever, but you get the sense, right?
Yeah, so, like, pretty much.
I don't want to butcher it up because I can't really.
Nah,
read.
Nah.
You put him in the spot like that, bro. Why would you do that to me?
Damn. Why you gonna set yourself up like that? I was gonna break it down for you. Pretty much what the same. So, as soon as you open my, not as soon as you open my book, but as soon as you go to my table of contents, you're gonna be hit with the same. And it says, pretty much, I'm gonna simplify it for you. It says, until lions have their own historians, mm-hmm. the history of the hunt will always glorify the hunters.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you right now, cool. From what we know, the history of the hunt, who's the good guys and who's the bad guys?
The hunter
is the good guy.
Yeah.
And the lions are the ones that are trying to kill people, yeah, right?
But they're not doing your shit, so why are they bad?
Then you tell me. You have to become your own historian, right? Yeah. To try to switch that narrative
That's
up.
That's true. But I'm not the lion. I'm the hunter.
Right,
the eater.
There you go. So then you got to talk to some people who have studied. Some people like that saying is you're taking it too literal.
Yeah, I know.
Right, you're taking it too literal.
Trying to protect myself in the streets, bro.
No, so that's what I'm saying is that that's all. So when I present my book to people, especially to kids, right, I tell them, look, I've always heard this narrative about Oxnard that is bad, gangs, drugs, violence, everything. And I'm not saying that doesn't exist. It happens there. I know it happens everywhere. But it sucks that reputation ruins everything else, right? So I get that. So then I say, but then I got introduced to a different way of thinking. I got introduced to the idea that there are other stories that can be told that disrupt what you think about what you already know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so that saying for me kind of like encapsulates that, right? It says it in a saying without that meaning, right? So the example of the sign is a prime example of that, like the story is that Oxnard is not beautiful if you look at Malibu. And then if you get introduced to that framework, that way of thinking, where it's like, okay, let's switch it up, let's become our own historian, then Oxnard becomes beautiful.
I get you. Wow. I mean, I'm going to do that for my city.
There you go.
Not yet, because I'm tired, but later, tomorrow, I'm going to do it. All right? So how did the book, this project come about? Like, tell me how it all started. All
right. So technically speaking, the first story in my book was written at Cal State Northridge. And it was the only poem that I have in that book. And the poem is about taking tests.
Okay.
And I wrote this poem during the time that I was taking the test for graduate school, right? The test that gets you into doctoral programs. It's called the GRE, the Graduate Record Exam, something like that, fancy name. And I wrote that poem. And I was just like, I was talking smack about the test. Like, yo, they're just not trying to make me go in. Like, they know I don't know what a chandelier means. Like, why are they asking me stuff about fancy lights?
Right? Yeah.
So, like, I think there's a line in there that says, you have 2 minutes remaining to try to figure out what a chandelier entails. Or means and entails, 2 minutes remaining to someone who has never been exposed to a fancy light fails.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
And so I was just like, damn, that got me mad. Like, why they making me take this test? You know I'm so much better than that.
Yeah.
I don't know their language, but they're trying to make me learn their language, right? So anyways, I did that poem. I presented it it was for a class. I presented it. That was my final project. And I got a lot of positive feedback. People are like, yo, that was deep. Like, I thought about the same thing, and you express your feelings, and those were my feelings, and we have similarities. And I was like, damn, well, thank you. So technically, that was the first story ever. And I didn't know it was a project then.
Yeah.
And then I started writing more stories through the classes I was taking at Syracuse.
Okay.
And there were mostly classes that were talking about isms, right? Like oppression, sexism, right? Homophobia. I was taking those types of classes, and so they were introducing me on how people with different identities, the negative experiences that they have, right, and that I have too, that I share with them. And so I started writing more and more and more, and then I just like kind of finalized it to a summer class of creative nonfiction writing. They're like, yo, we're pretty much gonna write a book in 2 weeks. They said we're pretty much gonna write a book. I was like, all right, well, let me make it happen. So I just started typing away, and then I reached out to a professor. Her name is Dr. Asia Martinez. Mm-hmm. She specializes in counter stories.
Okay.
And she's pretty much supervised the book for me.
So she's the one that you keep quoting in the bottom of your, like, the story, and then...
No, that's Michelle Cerros.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like that. Like, you're giving props to people, like, your inspirations or your mentors, I guess.
I don't want people to think that I'm just, like, that I just come out of nothing, right? Like, when did you get this point? No, it takes a village to raise a child,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like so many people influence my way of thinking.
So have you always been a writer, though? Because
never. No. To this day, I suck. I suck, bro. Yeah, I suck. You should have seen the first drafts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, spelling or what?
What you want? Spelling, grammar, what you want? Comma? Like, everything, bro.
Yeah. That's right? Cool, man. I mean, I'm glad that you have people like that help you out, like your professor, right?
Yeah.
That, I mean, you must have left a lasting impression on her for her to be like, oh, I'm gonna help this kid out, because she didn't have to, bro.
Yeah, she didn't have to, and it was great, and I appreciate that from her, and like I said, it wasn't just her. It was Jessica. It was Jessica, my partner. It was other people, just like my siblings too. I would write stories, and I would send them to my nephew. cool. So he can read them. I'm like, does this make sense to you?
Yeah.
Does this make sense? My nephew's only in 8th grade. Right. I was sending him stories. Does this make sense to you? What can I change? What am I using too many fancy words?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know I'm in a position of privilege that I know other people in my community cannot be in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to make sure the stuff that I'm saying about me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if it relates to them, then they can understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to generalize and say it's going to relate to everybody. That's not what I'm trying to do in my book. I'm just trying to share my experiences.
Yeah.
And if you feel me, you feel me.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, it's cool. You know, do your own thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like that because I'm not dumb. I just don't like to read. That's my thing. But like, I like that. It wasn't too like fancy or like too smart or whatever. I don't even know how. I don't know the words. That's a problem. I don't even have the words to express how I feel. But like, I understood what you were trying to say. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't really like look into deep and some other stuff I did, but not into the whole abroad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that fact that it's understandable what you're trying to do. You're trying to like trying to express yourself in a different way to fuck it. I'm trying to be smart right there. You can kind of tell, huh?
Go ahead.
You're trying to like, you know, tell people like, what the fuck? Like, this is not about violence, you know, like look into the beauty of this place, you know, like. Everywhere, like my last guest, he talked about Oxnard, but he talked about San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
He was referring to Mexico. He's like, yeah, like people were like, he told people like, I want to move to Mexico, and people were like looking at me like, what the fuck, like for real? It's like, you know, it's how bad it is. But then he's like, you know, you go to San Diego, like there's places you can't even walk. Like he's like, I almost got shanked once, you know, at night because I walked through the wrong street. I mean, everywhere is like that. You just gotta know your surroundings, pretty much, you know. I don't know what the fuck I was just saying. Whatever. So your first page is a letter to the reader, right?
Yeah.
Why did you write a letter to the audience?
Yeah, so pretty much I'm just going to explain to you what the letter does. The letter tells you, it's a one-page letter, and it says you're going to read some stories that make you feel uncomfortable, that make you angry, that make you feel unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it personally, I say. You know, just, you know, if you don't agree with me, I'm not asking for you to agree with me. I'm just saying try to understand me. And if you don't agree with me, then I would encourage you to reach out to community members, educators, youth, whoever, to get different worldviews.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I said that, I think it was very important for me to say that because I ain't gonna lie, I critique a lot of stuff in my book, right?
Yeah.
I critique a lot of stuff. I critique a lot of things that I love.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. And so I like loving things toughly. Like if I love something so much, I'm gonna tell you what I think, you know, can happen to make it better. That type of love. You get me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so some of my homies, some of my friends, some of my vecinos, whoever, they're going to read my book and be like, yo, I don't agree with you with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to know that I still love you. You don't have to agree with me. Just try to understand me, right? Know that I have my own experiences. I've made my own observations.
Yeah,
please
yeah.
respect me in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I wrote that, because I didn't want people to just feel discouraged about my book. Because some people will probably read my book and be like, damn, it's like, yeah, you're explaining that Oxnard is beautiful, but you also point out all the negative things, like the schooling practices, like the suspension rates, like the segregation that's happening. I was like, yeah, well, we have to point that out. Those conversations are needed if we ever want to change them, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't want people to shut down, and that's why I did that.
All right.
I come from a training that I'm part of the intergroup dialogue program at Syracuse University. Let me tell you what that means.
Thank you.
They put me in a position to talk across differences. So like, we'll talk about gender.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be males in the room saying like, well, women don't want to work, this and that.
Okay.
And then I have to kind of like mediate that.
I'll be like,
hold on, what you just said is kind of messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
How can we have a better conversation?
Yeah.
So that was inspired by that.
Yeah.
Those types of conversations. Because I know that if you go straight up and just talk smack,
yeah,
people are going to shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
But my end goal is to inspire conversations. I don't want people to shut down.
Uh-huh.
And so I want to be, even in my book, I want to become that mediator, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you feel personally attacked, just be, you know, be somewhat open and talk to people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just talk to people.
Yeah, just have a conversation. That's all.
Have a conversation.
Yeah. So who's your target audience? Is it like the people from Oxnard? Is it people around the world like that?
Yeah.
Never. Who? You tell me. I don't put words in your mouth.
No, I got you. So I would go to Oxnard High School to present about college a lot, mm-hmm. right? They would invite me every semester. I'd go. And every single time, the last slide, I put my contact information. I say, if y'all interested in going to college, hit me up. There's my email. Send me an email. Just give me a little bit of time to reply, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And one time, this dude hit me up. He was like, shout out to him. You know, he did a review for my book. His name is Francisco.
Okay.
He did a review for my book. He's right now. He's a junior, I believe. All at right. the time, he was like a sophomore.
Uh-huh.
in high school, and he was like, hey, Martin, like, you know, I just saw your presentation, and I want to change my lifestyle. Like, I want to change it. Like, yeah. You know, I want to do something else because my whole life I've been told that I'm a cholo. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that's kind of like how I interpret it. He's like, yeah, my whole life I've been told that I'm not good at education, this isn't that. Yeah. Those are, and the reason why I don't feel bad saying that is because those are sentiments that a lot of people feel. Mm-hmm. It's not just him. Like, people have been told that you're not good at education. Yeah. So how can you not be good at education? That's my way. Like, how could you not be? You're not good at schooling. That's what you're not good at. Yeah. Education is something else. Well,
it could just be you're not interested in what you're learning.
Okay, you know? Yeah. So we'll get to that conversation later. So he came up to, well, he sent me that email, and I was like, yo, for sure, man, like, you know, hit me up, I'll give you some advice, you know, I responded, and I was, as I was writing my book, I was thinking about him, because he reminded me of my older brothers that weren't given chances, even though they were talented, they were smart, you know, they were hardworking, they just weren't given chances because of how they dressed, how they talked, how they walked, and so I'm like, yo, that's who I wrote the book for. And so your question as to whether or not I only wrote it for Oxnard people, to some extent, that has some truth. Because there are some jokes in there that only pertain to Oxnard. Okay. You won't know some of the jokes if you don't know Oxnard. Right. Right?
Yeah. All
but, right. Like you were saying, in your own hometown, it's similar things are happening. Yeah. It has this negative reputation. You know, how can you challenge it? And so, I presented my stories in New York, in Syracuse. And the students are like, yo, that happened to me too. Mm-hmm. Yo, they've done that to my name. They changed it without telling me.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah. So, I didn't limit myself in that sense. You're going to read my stories and they may or may not resonate with you. You might feel them, right? And if you feel them, you feel them. That's what's up. But it was definitely not intended just for Oxnard. Because what's happening with the schools in Oxnard is happening elsewhere. And I know that for a fact because I've been in the Syracuse school district and I've been to the schools there and I've taught at an alternative high school at Syracuse and I see the same practices. They just look a little differently.
Dang, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, No, I think we had like kind of the same upbringing. Like my school was like that too. They have things to help you like graduate, but they're not offered for everybody. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, like for me, I went to community college and I didn't feel prepared, but for some reason I got honors. I went to it's called Harvard College. Mm-hmm. It's not Harvard, it's Harvard. that's how people like you just say real quick and people think you're from Harvard, you know? But like I went to Harvard, took the placement test, I got placed in remedial and I was in honors English over here and I went and was like, okay, look, there's something wrong here. Where over here I graduated with honors, I people were praising my, you know, my ass, but here like I'm one of the I feel like super dumb, like, you know, like I was placed in ESL, not even remedial, like I had to work my way up, you know.
Yeah not for you. I was also on remedial at Cal State Northridge.
It sucks, like over here you feel like you're important, like, oh, like your family was calling you like a bookworm and he was like what did you say?
No, yeah, like book. Yeah, you're right. Like book, where the brains of the family, book smart.
But
yeah,
it's not necessarily true because the district needs money, bro. And so they need to graduate some people. So they like they need to curve that thing, you know, to help some of us pass.
So let me explain to you how it works. We might get to it in a little bit, but this is very important. This is so very important. So in order for you to get to a UC, like a UCLA, a UC Berkeley, or even a Cal State. Wow. Like a Cal State Northridge, a Cal State LA, Cal State Long Beach, that's just around the corner from here, right?
Yeah.
You need to fulfill the A through G requirements.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so let me tell you something. The A through G requirements, like, it's very simple. Like, it's not very simple. It's not very simple. So what you need, let me give you an example. Like, let's say you need 4 years of English, 3 years of math, 2 years of science, right?
And then
as soon as you
fulfill general.
Exactly. Basically. Right? But you know what's interesting about Oxnard and about other cities?
What's up?
You can graduate without fulfilling those.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you know what that means, right?
You have an opportunity.
So can I tell you what that means?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know about the GPA, right?
Yeah.
What's the highest GPA you can get?
2.5?
The highest GPA you can get.
Oh, 4.0.
That's incorrect.
4.5?
Nuh-uh.
5.0.
It's a 5.0. Because if you take all the honors classes,
then
you get bumped up so you can get 5.0. So that's the first, right?
Yeah,
right? Okay. So we got that 5.0.
Yeah.
But let's stick with the 4.0 because that's the most common one, right?
Yeah.
Let's stick with the 4.0. Is a 3.6 pretty good?
It's like a C.
A 3.6?
That's a, I mean, compare, if you got a 5.0, no.
No, I'm saying let's compare to the 4.0.
Oh, like a B.
Yeah, it's like BAs, BAs, yeah. BAs, right? That's pretty solid. That's but good.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so let me hit you with that. Okay, so check this out. So can we come to the agreement that that's pretty good? 3.6, yeah. That's pretty solid compared to 4.0.
Yeah, I graduated with 3.4. So,
hey, there you go. So you're on top, right? Cream of the crop. So check this out.
Really, but
so check this out, right? So at Oxnard, you can graduate with a 3.6, which is solid.
Yeah.
But you still may not be eligible to go to 4-year university.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Dang, it's just like, yo, I did what you told me I was supposed to do. I got A's and B's. I did my homework, but I didn't take the marine biology. I didn't take that biology class. Because that wasn't a requirement.
Yeah.
So like now I can't go to Cal State.
Dang.
Now I can't go to UC Riverside, which is they say is the one that you have a more probability to go into because they want to increase their population,
right?
Yeah. But it's a UC still.
So where are these counselors at? Because they're the ones that are supposed to shape you, like, and help you. You know, you guys don't have counselors.
Check this out. We do, but I don't want to place the blame on them. Oh, let me tell you why though.
Okay.
Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Because the counselors at our high schools have a lot of students.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like one counselor to 300 students. And thinking about it, right, like in a practical world, is that possible for them to get to every single student?
Yeah, it's too much.
Right? So, like, as much as I want to blame students and teachers and this and that, like, yeah, you know, we can blame them here and there.
Yeah.
But it's like, yo, they have a lot of students to begin with.
Yeah.
So, it's like, it's very difficult for them to give the guidance, right, the appropriate guidance. And every student is individualized. Every student should be individualized.
Yeah.
But it's like 300 students, I'm about to hit random, shuffle the classes, and there you go. You got your schedule.
Whoever comes up to me first.
Exactly.
That's what I'm helping.
Exactly. And that becomes even more messed up when you think about it like this, like how my parents thought about it. My parents thought that if they just sent me to school, if they took me to school, then everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
They did their end of the deal. The school now has to do theirs. But that's not how schools operate.
No.
You have to constantly bug the schools for what you want.
Yeah,
but my parents didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, dang, well, I did mine. I made sure that my boy was cleaned up. You know, those mocos, they weren't there.
The eye boogers
weren't there.
Yeah.
You know, I made sure that he had his shirt tucked in. I put him in school. But then, hold on, you're telling me that he's not eligible to college.
Like, yeah.
I did my end. What's up with y'all? What y'all doing on your end type of stuff, right? That's kind of how I've been analyzing it lately. Because my parents put too much trust in education. Too much trust in schools.
So, okay, let's go back to Oxnard a little bit.
Yeah.
So what's like that job that everybody wants to get, because here in Wilmington it's the work at the harbor to be a longshoreman.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, working in the fields isn't the best thing, you know, especially out of high school. But like, what's the job that like most people try to aim for, like, straight out of high school?
I'm not gonna generalize. I don't want to generalize, but
come on, just do it for me.
Okay, so I'm gonna do it for you. Okay,
thanks.
A barber.
Fuck,
everybody trying to cut hair,
man.
Right? And so it's kind of like barbering in Oxnard. It's like, yo, if you ever need a haircut, hit me up.
I might
be able to do something too, right?
Right.
So it's kind of like, barbers is like a pretty popular occupation.
Right.
And it kind of like, you know, you need your schooling.
Yeah.
But it's a different type of schooling.
Yeah.
Right? It's a trade.
Yeah.
So it's a trade. Yeah.
Dang,
and then like, you know, lately I've been running into a lot of plomeros too, plumbers.
Dang. I mean, I guess it's better than what I thought. Like my dream job out of high school was to be a janitor for the LAUSD district.
What? Why is that?
I don't know. Easy. And only because you get holidays paid. you get to chill. But you know, like the bad side is you gotta clean vomit and stuff. And like in high school, like, man, like those bathrooms in high school, they're not the cleanest. Mm-hmm. And like, then I thought, you know what, man, I think I'm good for this job. I don't even have to clean up all the time, you know? All right, but anyways, let's talk about your book now.
Okay.
So what are some of the benefits of having Oxnard known as like a bad reputation place? Because, I mean, I don't see the need for that, you know? Like you would think like the city would want people to go there, because if like people go there, they'll bring in money, and money is going to help the city grow, you know? So like in your opinion, like why still have that the stigma to the city, you know, if I mean, it's not gonna help the city, you know, at all, if people don't come and like spend their money there.
So then it becomes a deeper question. Do they want to help the city?
No.
Do they want to help these people?
That's true.
Okay, so check this out though. But Oxnard is changing, and you'll read it in my book, the last chapter.
Uh-huh.
Oxnard is changing.
All right,
but is the change for us? Okay. Is it for us? Because I can't afford $15 peanut butter. Can you?
Hey, on a good day, man.
I know you're talking about Kroger earlier. You know that? That's $2.99.
Good taxes are about to come in, so maybe like three jars pretty soon.
Right? So then you start thinking, hold on, they're building all these buildings. They're building all these stores. But is it for me?
Yeah.
The other day, I went to the movies with my mom at the new collection, right? At the new shopping plaza for people.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly going to bring in new money. And I told my mom, let's go watch Coco in Espanol. Uh-huh. All right, let's do it. She's like, but where is it? I've never been there.
What the fuck?
I was like, is it for my mom?
Yeah.
Is that shopping center for my mom? I don't think so.
Yeah. Is it far?
No, it's right there. It's right there.
Dang.
It's considered Oxnard.
Okay.
And so, right, that gets you thinking, like, yeah, damn, did they want to help us? Or now that they're changing, who are they trying to help now?
Yeah.
Who can afford the rent?
Yeah.
Right? So, it's kind of like, those are the conversations that I'm thinking about. Those are the conversations that I end with, the last chapter.
Do you think it's, what's it called when you bring people, like, supposedly, fuck, I don't like saying this, but white people come in and, and like, they take over? Like, what's it called?
Gentrification.
There we go. You think that's what they're trying to do with Oxnard?
Well, I mean, you see it there. You see the signs, right?
Okay.
People who study gentrification, you see the signs of it.
Uh-huh.
If you read the last chapter of my book, it's going to explain to you what I think about it. If you want me to explain to you right now?
I mean, you're making me seem bad, bro. If you read it, like...
Nah, my bad. No. I'm saying for the audience. I'm saying for the audience for other people.
Yeah.
No. And you got the sample version of my book, so, you know, I can't hold that against you.
Yeah.
You have some stories that I'll be talking about. You're like, hold on, what you talking about?
Yeah.
Right?
Like the Microsoft one you were talking about earlier, like...
You don't have that story.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to put the blame on you, but I'm telling your audience, if you read the last story of my book, you'll hear my take on gentrification.
Okay, cool.
Because I'll explain to you really quick. I grew up in the quote unquote blue ghetto. That's what they called it. It was a community. It was a community that used to be all blue, and it was poor. And so they were like, you know, what comes with poverty, right?
Yeah.
You get homeless people. You get people with mental illnesses. This is and that. Anyways, across the street there was a liquor store, and I would always go to that liquor store for Shasta sodas. You ever had Shasta sodas?
Hell yeah.
35-cent sodas.
99 cents, bro.
Well, that's what's up. I used to get them for 35 cents.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
the can, right? Yeah, you're talking about the
3-liter.
No,
liters, I'm talking about the can.
Yeah, okay, the can is 35 cents, right?
The one's 119 now.
It went up. Okay, there you go. And so what happens is that things started changing, and they knocked down that liquor store.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, shit, not only can I not get 35 cent sodas, but I can't get 30 cent Twinkies. I can't get hot Cheetos. That was the combo right there.
Yeah.
The soda, the Cheetos, and the Twinkie. You get the dessert. Yeah. It's a wrap. That's a first date right there. All right. So I was like, yo, I can't get that anymore. What's happening? They're knocking everything down. And guess what they built there?
Whole Foods or Trader Joe's?
Almost.
Damn.
They built $500,000 studio homes, like damn near.
Hey, how is that close? That's at a grocery store, bro.
But I'm talking about like who can afford those grocery stores.
I got you.
Right?
Yeah.
And not only did they build those, but they put like private properties. Please stay out. So it's like, damn, I can't even skateboard near there. I can't, you know, I used to always skate to the store.
Yeah.
I can't even skate through there anymore. So it's like, what's happening here? So like it erased a lot of memory. That's what it did.
Because
my mom used to go to La Lavanderia there too.
Yeah.
And I used to go to the donut shop. And I used to hit up the barbecue joint there too.
Yeah.
And we used to go there just to chill. So they erased all that.
Yeah.
And
that's
they built
fucked up.
And they built these quote unquote beautiful houses.
Yeah.
But for who?
Yeah.
Cause I can't afford $500,000 studio. Yeah. Like that's pretty much what it is. It might be $300,000 for a studio, $300,000 for a studio, but that's a studio. That means you sleep, cook and go to the restroom in the same room.
Yeah,
that's what a studio is, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kinda like, dang. So that's my gentrification.
Man.
It's like, you don't have to call it gentrification, but listen to my story and listen to all the history that you erase.
Yeah. Damn, man. So what is counter story? And tell me more about how you use boxing to explain this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Why boxing? Why is it a counterpunch so important?
Okay, perfect. All right, then. So a counter story is kind of like what we were talking about earlier about, like, you know, it's a different side to the story. And a good way to explaining a counter story is through the Three Little Pigs. Have you heard that story?
Yeah.
Who's the bad guy?
The wolf.
The wolf. Why?
Because he's blowing their houses away.
Okay. Have you heard the story from the wolf perspective?
Yeah, he was hungry, man.
Nah. He was sick and he wanted medicine. He's like, yo, I'm sick. Achoo. He would blow the house down.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
And so that messes with you, right? You're like, hold on. I never heard that perspective.
Yeah.
Right?
But wait, why was he? He was like, did
he
they have medicine or something?
He was trying to ask him for medicine, but they're like, yo, he's a criminal. I ain't trying to help this dude. He's like, yo, I just want some medicine.
Yeah, that's
you're
what's
not trying to help me.
Oh, man.
you're not trying to help me. Right? So then, right, it messes with you. Like, hold on, that's that. Hold on there. Wait. You start feeling uncomfortable. Like, nah.
Was this before Obamacare?
That's not good. We won't get to another topic. All right, then. So check this out, though. So then, that's an example of how it starts messing with people. It's like, oh, dang. So there's another side. There are multiple sides, not just two. We can't just create two sides. But there are multiple
about the
sides.
Houses? Like, you got to think about their side.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So we have the two. We have the different sides. So that's what a counter story is. It's like a different side, but it's critical too. Okay. It's like you're really critical of what you're saying. You're really being critical of your experiences. You're really being critical of your observations. And it just doesn't happen through stories. We see it in graffiti. Mm-hmm. Open your eyes, right? Create art shops or whatever. Do, you know, open up more art spaces.
Like Banksy, right?
Exactly. So you kind of like, I don't want to give credit to him because we have local artists that are doing much better work.
I'm just saying, like, he's kind of like more known, you know, like what he's doing.
Yeah, but artists out here doing really good work.
I understand. But like, some people might not know graffiti or something like that.
Okay. All right, then. And so that's kind of like an example of a counter story. Like, another really good example is Campesino Teatrato, which is it's the theater of the agricultural workers, right?
Okay.
Luis Valdez. And what he does is he does counter stories through plays. So he would do a play of people picking strawberries or people working in the fields and be like, oh, the owner's taking advantage of me. This isn't that. Like, we got to do something. We got to go on a strike. They end up going on a strike. That's a play. So that's kind of like a counter story too.
Okay.
Right? Because we don't hear, that's not the narrative that we hear.
Yeah.
Something else. The narrative is just like, oh, they just don't want to work somewhere else.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We hear that.
Yeah.
They're out there because they don't want to work somewhere else. They're lazy. They want to, you know, they don't want to do anything that requires real work.
Yeah.
But the counter story provides a different narrative. The reason why I use boxing is because, like I said, boxing is near and dear to the hearts of the Oxnard people. People call it Boxnard. And I started becoming a fan of boxing. I was like, okay, I like boxing. What are the different tactics? Blah, 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 blah. You know, this, this, and that. And I noticed that there's a tactic called a counterpunch.
Okay.
And what that means is an opponent is punching at you. You catch him slipping and you punch back. And you hit him a little bit harder. And I was like, damn, I can use counter stories and counter punches at the same time to help people understand what I mean by counter stories through boxing.
Yeah, that's more visual.
It's actually more visual. And you know what's so cool? Is that the other day we took Liz, shout out to Liz from, you know, San Fernando Valley. We took it to Oxnard, to La Colonia. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the most dangerous community. Be careful, right? You know, being playing it as a joke, right? And they have a really tight mural, really tight one. And in that mural, there's a section dedicated to boxers.
Yeah.
And in that section, you know, you have the champions, you know, Roberto Garcia, the trainer, Fernando Vargas. And then you have a boxer punching a boxing bag. Yeah. And it says discrimination there. So he's punching discrimination.
Yeah.
So it's like a metaphor.
Yeah.
It's like he's not literally, you can't literally punch discrimination, but you can fight back against through it through stories.
Yeah.
So it was like, I didn't even know about that. And I wrote the book. So that's how I know I'm coming from people who've inspired me without even knowing.
I see the influences right now, what you just mentioned. I was like, I'm going to check her out.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, to check her out, remind me to check her out because I'm going to forget. So with the cover though, I mean, in the front, you got the strawberries. And you also got the sign, right? Like, why did you make that choice to, like, put that on the cover?
All right. So, if you look at the cover, it's a fresa growing in la playa. So, it's a strawberry growing in the beach. Uh-huh. Do strawberries grow in the beach?
Nah. Not that I know.
Right?
Yeah. They don't. Maybe in Oxnard.
So, that concept of something growing out of something where it's not supposed to grow out of was inspired by Tupac.
Yeah, the rose that grew from the concrete. Ooh, I love that shit. All
right,
go.
The rose that grew from the concrete, right? So hopefully what the cover is inspiring people to think that fresas are beautiful and they can grow.
Yeah.
Even in places where they're not supposed to.
That's
so what can we do to make them grow?
Yeah.
And the back cover is inspired through the purpose of the book. The purpose of the book is to change the negative reputation or talk about it in different ways. And the front cover is beautiful too. The title is not beautiful.
Right.
The title's kind of negative. It's and then Oxnard. That's true. Like, and then Oxnard.
But I should have read it like that.
Yeah. And then in the back, you have Oxnard. Beautiful. 15 miles of beautiful brown people.
Yeah.
Like even the book in and of itself, just flipping the front and in the back, like, damn, it's a different story.
Yeah.
It's a different story. What's going on here?
Like the yin yang type of deal. The negative and the positive. The light and the dark kind of deal.
There you go. Something like that.
Man, I'm poetic today.
Damn. It's that knowledge. It's dropping it on me. Dang.
So, I didn't know. I mean, on top of being being an author, a writer, and educator, like, you got skills to be able to draw that.
Hey, it wasn't me.
What?
The truth is out.
Oh, shit.
I want to give a shout out to the person who drew it. Her name is Griselda de los Reyes, and she's Oxnard native. I went to school with her. And when I was thinking about this book project, I was like, I need to get somebody from Oxnard. I want to support them financially. I want to support them through their work. People, you know, may want to hire her for something else.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, we need to get Oxnard, right? I want to hook up Oxnard people. And I hit her up and I was like, yo, I saw that you're a tattoo artist or you do other things with art. Can you do something for me? She was like, of course, I got you what you want. So it was nice to go back to like a childhood friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like a prime example that there's talent in Oxnard.
Yeah,
a
yeah.
prime example on the cover that there is talent in Oxnard.
Yeah, yeah. I like that though. I mean that's what everybody should be doing, you know? Like you should uplift everybody. When you're going up, you should bring somebody up with you, you know? Yeah. Like hopefully that person brings somebody up with them. Exactly. You know, that's how we're gonna grow, guys.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for supporting me first of all. I appreciate it. So I mean, who's your publisher? Like tell me who, like, so give them a credit.
Yeah.
And so who's your publisher?
The publisher is Martin Alberto Gonzalez.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that's I heard he's a really good publisher.
Hey, yeah, I heard publish so too. Good people. If it's true, you guys would be the judge, guys.
So you'd be like, hold on, what, the publisher, Martin, isn't that your name? And that's true. I did self-publish. Mm-hmm. And it was a very difficult decision. I talked to so many people, professors, people who have like full-time, people who have published over like 10 books. I was like, yo, what do you recommend? What do you recommend? Why do I want to publish with a publisher? Why do I want to publish by myself? And I ended up publishing by myself because my family inspired me. My older siblings inspired me to, if I'm going to do something, I got to do it professionally. Mm-hmm. Do it right. You know, that way you get called for another job, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the mentality of a plumber. That's the mentality of those people who work really hard, right? The hard labor jobs. It's like, yo, if I build a house, I want to build it right. Yeah. That way you can call me back. And I had the tools to build it right because I'm at a university. I'm in a doctoral program. So I have the tools to build it right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took advantage of those tools and it didn't really cost me that much money. I got a scholarship to help me write it. So I was like, why not do my own? Yeah. That way I retain the intellectual property.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything in that book is mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you publish with other people, sometimes they'll take it away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You sign the contract, it's a wrap.
Yeah,
you can't sell your book for $5 anymore, whatever you want to sell it for. You got to sell it for the amount that they're telling you gotta sell it for.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some pros and cons. The negative thing about self-publishing is that people are gonna say like, oh, like it's self-love. He did it, you know, just to impress himself. Like that book doesn't count for anything. I'm tripping. The book has already made impact in people's lives. Mm-hmm. That was the end goal, you know. Hey, you know, if you want to invalidate it because it's not published through a credible publisher, then you don't know what knowledge production means. You don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm producing knowledge right now, but because it's not being recognized by a publisher, you're gonna invalidate it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not how I run. You know, that's not how I go with things. So. Yeah. I'm chilling.
Alright. Yeah, but guys, I'm gonna tell you the truth why he didn't publish it with like a big guy. Because when they make the movie, he wants to book me. And I'm gonna be playing him, you know, so we already talked about it. Right. Hey. So it's in the works, guys. You know, right now we're making money move like Cardi B, you know. So but all right, what was the hardest part about writing the book?
I think the hardest part about writing the book was something that we talked about earlier. Like, how can I write the book so that you understand it without having an education?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you may not notice this, but this book has a lot of research in it. A lot of research in it. So when people come at me with counter arguments, I'm like, okay, that's cool. Here's some more books that you can read that also support what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you do your research and then you find me some articles that are supporting what you're saying and then we'll talk then, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not that matters, but I'm just saying, don't come at me just with false, like with empty evidence.
Yeah, yeah.
You get me?
Yeah.
Come something. So there's a lot of research going on in this book. I'm citing people that are like academics that like like the vocabulary words. I'm like, I have to look up like 10 times. Like, hold on, how did you use it? Why did you use it this way? Mm-hmm. So the most difficult part was like, I'm trying to make it accessible so that people understand it, so that my community understands it. Because I know my community is not getting that education because of how schooling is set up.
Yeah,
and they're the ones that I wanted to read.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's good.
So
man.
That was the hardest part is make, and it was like translation services. Mm-hmm. It's like from English to Spanish, from academic to hood, it's quote unquote, right? From academic to hood.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it that way, but it's kind of like to get people thinking about it in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the hardest part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you want the reader to get off of, like, once they read the book? Like, what do you want the overall message to be, you know?
So, the first thing that I wanted to get them thinking about is that there are social injustices anywhere they go. Anywhere you go, there's a social injustice happening, right? You mentioned, you know, here and there, the example of the playa at a beach. You're like, oh, people go there for leisure. People go there for, you know, surfing or whatever it is, to swim, to run. even there is a social injustice happening. Mm-hmm. Jessica talks about it all the time. That's my favorite place in the world, and there's still a social injustice happening, right? So that's the first thing. That's the first thing. It's like, yo, the next thing I want people to start thinking about is being critical. And I'm sure people are already doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything new. People are already doing this. But for those who are not, just be critical of your past experiences. So because you didn't go to college, was it because you weren't the smartest? Was it because you weren't the hardest worker? What was the reason? Because that's what people want you to think, right? And maybe, you know, to some, I don't know. I don't like to say that. That's the last excuse I go with.
Yeah.
Because I know how the schools work. Yeah. That's why I don't go with that excuse, right? Or I don't go with that reason. Not excuse, but I don't go with that reason. So that's another thing that I want people to start thinking about. It's like, dang, I didn't go to college. My older brother didn't go to college. But how's my older brother? Well, I went to college and my older brothers didn't go to college. But how are they smarter than me?
Yeah.
How are they smarter than me?
Yeah.
How does that work, right? So start thinking critically about your mishaps, the things that didn't happen, right? It's a struggle. It's a struggle.
Yeah, man. Fuck, that's powerful, man. Fuck, I wish... I mean, I'm going to write a book about myself and I'm going to send it to you so you can
The publisher.
You can publish it for me. You pay me. You know? You'll play me on my movie.
There you go.
Yeah. So, like, on your chapter, like, on your book, you wrote a chapter called La Playa, right? That's your partner's. Like, that's your partner's story. That's you having a conversation with her. You guys were coming from CSUN and you guys went to go run. Like, what made you want to add that to your book?
So the way that the book is set up, that's the first actual story. Because the first three stories are like a framework. Like, I'm telling you what Oxnard is. I'm telling you how to fight negative stories. And then I'm telling you the politics of truth. Like, we're talking about los tacos.
Yeah.
And then after that is La Playa. So you get hit with the first story.
Yeah.
And in La Playa, it's a story about Jesse, who, you know, in that story is my partner, my girlfriend, or whatever you want to call it. And we're having a conversation about La Playa because I'm saying that La Playa is beautiful. And that, you know, we should just enjoy it. She's like, no, look at what's happening. Look, open your eyes.
Yeah.
Like, look, there's because if you go to Oxnard, you go to Silver Strand, everybody's trying to go to Silver Strand. But right before you hit Silver Strand, there's a beach called the Kitty Beach. Mm-hmm. And that Kitty Beach is always filled with La Raza. Mad Latinx people. Mad, like just so many. But if you go to the Silver Strand Beach, it's like, yeah, you'll find the teenagers, Latinx people. You'll find a few, you know, people of color here and there. But it's mostly white people. At the Silver Strand Beach, right? Mm-hmm. And this is like the bigger beach, the one with waves, a surfer and all that. But then the Kitty Beach doesn't have any waves, blah, blah, blah. And so I got my hands on a report that said that the Kitty Beach was one of the most polluted beaches in California. Mm-hmm. So this based off evidence. And this report came out around the time that I was 8 years old. I was like, I remember going to this beach when I was 8 years old, something like that. Like, damn, I was exposed to these toxins and I didn't even know about it. I was pissed. So I was like, I need to do a story about this. Mm-hmm. But I also, and then so Jessica and I started having conversations about it. And in the story, I'm the person who's naive.
Yeah.
Right? I'm the person who's naive. And Jesse, the character Jesse, is the person who's saying, like, open your eyes, dude. Like, look. Not only is it polluted, but they don't let the eloteros sell elotes there.
Yeah.
But they let these people sell hot dogs here. Like, what's up with that? They boil both of them. Like, why can't they just sell them, right?
Yeah, that to me, that's what jumped out to me. Like, that's true. They do boil both of them. And they represent two different cultures. Like, the hot dog, the American, you know, America, how you mentioned, how you put it down. And then Mexico, like, and the Hispanic people, Latinx, whatever you want to call us. Mm-hmm. Like, the elote, you know, and that's fucking true. Like, damn, like. Why can't an elotero go and sell his eyes? Like, his fucking, like, his elote. Elotero, uh-huh. I can't pull out elote. What the? All right. But then you got over here Oscar Mayer wieners popping out with their hot dogs, you know? They could be, but, like, this guy's, like, doing honest thing. Like, he's not selling anything wrong, you know? It's like, both of them are food, and one's actually processed like a motherfucker. Mm. And the other one isn't, you know? It's more natural, even though corn is, like, you know?
Lately, it's been jelly, like, genetically modified. Yeah, you're right, though.
But it's a vegetable. The other one's a bunch of body parts that people don't want to digest because if you tell them what it really is, they all fucking won't eat it, all right?
Yeah, so I do want to make something clear. Like, the way that I approach counter stories, like, a character can embody a lot of people. It's not just one character, right? Yeah. So in that story, you took it literal. Like, you were like, hey, my thing, like, why'd you play so dumb? This isn't that.
Yeah.
But really, that character embodies both Jessica and, right, Jesse and my perspectives on things. So we're both having conversations about this. And she was telling me, yeah, you should mention this. oh, I think I should mention that. So that character is getting both of our thoughts. And then I just made another character who was me.
Yeah.
That, como dice, you know, como dice mis hermanos, de dos pendejos, right? Yeah, así de pendejo. Yeah. Like, that fool doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I ain't going to lie. Like, I hate to follow it with that phrase, like, todo pendejo. But the way that Martin thinks in that story is how, like, you were talking about how the mask thinks. That's how a lot of people think. Like, it's not racist. Just... You always got to talk about racism.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I talk about it, like, I say how Yessie goes to college, she takes one ethnic study course, and then she's like, sexism this, I can't go to Disneyland because, you know, princess is this. Yeah.
Like, you made her seem like a bummer, to tell you the truth, bro. I was like, fuck, I wouldn't want to hang out with her. Like,
but like, that's how a lot of my homies are. Yeah. And it's cool. Like,
bummers?
You call them bummers, I call them critical.
Oh, okay.
You call them bummers, I call them critical. My homies are like that. Every time we go to a restaurant, it's like, why they got to sell African cornbread? Why can't they just be cornbread? I was like, you're right, bro. Why can't it just be cornbread? Are they giving money back to the African American community? Yeah. I don't think so. They better change that to, you know?
Yeah.
So things like that. That's how my homies are, right? Yeah. They're just like really like, and a lot of my homies embody different identities too.
Yeah.
So they're coming from different perspectives. I got homies that are queer. I got homies that are straight up lesbian or, you know, gay. I got homies that are doing this and that. So their experiences inform my experiences because, like, damn, I never exposed it. Like, I never experienced it like that.
Yeah.
But you're telling me that's how it is?
Yeah,
damn,
yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Like, that just opened my eyes.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, you know what? I think we talked for a lot. But before I go, I want to ask you one last thing. Like, do you have any other projects coming up, like, related to your book? Like, besides the movie that I'm going to be putting, you know?
Yeah, I got a few projects. I told myself that I never want to make money off my book.
All
right. I never want to make money off my book. I want to reinvest it in the community, mm-hmm. especially the Oxnard community. And so, like, the first thing I'm doing with the sales is I'm going to hire a translator to make the book in Spanish.
Oh, cool.
Like, people will ask me, yo, was that your dream to write a book? Was that your dream to write a book? I was like, hell no. Remedial class? Like, hell no. A book? Nah. But now I do have a dream.
Okay.
My dream is to convert it into Spanish.
Okay.
That's a new dream. Because, I, you know, the book dream wasn't there, right? Because, like I said, the schooling practices, this and that. But, yeah, so that's the new dream. So that's the first project. All the money that I'm making off my book is going to go straight there. And it's expensive to hire these people. Because mm-hmm. I want it done professionally.
Okay.
Like, I want people to actually put a lot of work in, you know, and I want to reward them for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the first project. Another project that I've already started is called Stickers for Scholarships.
Okay.
So if you hop on my website, which we can provide later on,
yeah.
You'll see that I sell a 3-pack of stickers and it's $8. And you're like, damn, those are pricey. They made out of gold or something? Something oro?
Like, what kind of horses are the groom made out of?
So it's like, so you have stickers. You have three of them. You have the 15 miles of beautiful brown, Oxnard 15 miles of beautiful brown stickers. You have a concha, a pan dulce concha that says Viva Oxnard. And then you have a boxing glove that says Boxnard.
Okay.
And for all those sales that I make off those stickers, I'm going to put it towards scholarships. And I think I already have an organization in Oxnard that already has a foundation. So why not, you know, follow the money in there? I'm going to speak to them a little bit more just to see where the money goes exactly. Because, you always got to invest before you donate.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes they be keeping like half of it. Don't. So I'm going to invest a little bit more. But from my understanding, I think that they do have a really good foundation and they go straight to the students. And then, so that's two. You're almost close with the movie. I'm not gonna do a movie yet.
Novela.
Nah, I'm gonna do an audiobook.
Hey, you need that because I mean
that's what I'm saying. Right? I
have a Mac and it reads for you. I was trying to highlight it, but man, I don't know what's going on. My computer was not doing it for me.
And I think an audiobook is a must.
Yeah,
it's a must.
Yeah,
because like you said, people learn in different ways. Yeah. I don't want to limit people by just reading it.
Yeah.
I want people to hear it.
Yeah,
or maybe make like little short films.
Yeah.
About names, right? Like there are already some out there. I can send to people, but I'm just saying some that are tailored straight to my book.
Yeah,
and so like the audiobook is another project. So that's already three projects. One of my homies back at Syracuse,
mm-hmm.
I'll give her a shout out. Her name is Camila Bell. She influenced the book. I had conversations with her also. She looked at some of my stories. Shout out Camila Bell. I'm still trying to convince her right now, but she's going to do like a teacher's edition for me.
Oh, cool.
So she's going to be like, these are, you know, if you want to talk about racism, this is how you can talk about it. These are some key words that you want to mention. Ask your students this and that. That'd be great. It'd be a useful tool for the teachers, right? Yeah. So that's the third. And then the last, as soon as I fulfill those projects that I have in mind, just continue going to the scholarship. just whatever money. And so so it's like all the proceeds from the book just want to go straight to, you know, back to the community. And then later on I can make money on my own through presentations.
True.
But the book, you know, the community can keep that.
So is a book, are you gonna provide copies for like schools and stuff?
That's you just read my mind, because that was the last project.
Okay.
Right now, like, as soon as things settle, like, my book just released, like, 3 weeks ago. So, a lot of people want copies.
Yeah.
And what's happening right now is that I'm running out of copies because I got to order them for myself. But you can always order a copy. Sure, they always have them in stock on Amazon.com.
Okay.
But there's an option that I'm going to give people through my website where you can buy a copy. And for $2.60 more, I'll donate a copy to a student.
Oh, that's cool.
So, for $15 plus $15.50 plus shipping and handling, you get two copies. One for yourself. Okay. If you want it signed, you let me know. I'll sign it for you, whatever you want. I'll add a bookmark, custom-made bookmark. And then for the I'll donate a copy. I'll donate a copy to a student.
So any random student that you find or a specific one?
If you're from Oxnard, you can let me know what school.
Okay.
But I already have a list of students who signed up for my book.
All right, cool.
So I can just go down the list.
Oh, that's cool, man.
I can just go down the list.
All right, guys. But, man, get it together. I know it's the year just started, so you guys are trying to lose weight. Also, try to buy this book, too.
Gain some knowledge. Resolution. Lose weight, gain some knowledge.
Yeah, there you go. See, all that fat you lose, gain it in words.
Hey.
All right. Well, you know what? I think I took a lot of your time, and I know you got a schedule to keep. So why don't you tell people where they could find your social medias. But before I go any further, think about doing that movie, because I want to play you, bro. I think I could play it really dumb. I mean, like, I know you're like even more, bro. So that running scene, I could probably do it.
Hey, I got you.
All right, cool. Sorry. Your plugs. Where they could find you. They could find your book.
We're going to start off with Instagram. It's at Marty Moose. And it's MartyMoose. That's the Instagram. The Twitter is Viva Oxnard. VIVA Oxnard. OXNARD. The Facebook is straight up Martin Alberto Gonzalez. We have the store. I will put that online. We'll put it somewhere else because it's super complicated. Yeah. But so, you can find the book. Uh-huh. The book is the important part. The book, you can find it on Amazon right now. Like, you can look it up, and it's on Amazon right now, selling. It's just people are buying every other day. People are buying.
So what will help is buy the book, and then as you're reading, hear the podcast, so you kind of reference what the hell we're talking about.
Exactly.
You know?
And read the book to your little siblings. Read the book to your mom.
Yeah.
And you know, one day, like I said, you know, eventually in 6 months, I'm gonna get it in Spanish. So if your mom only speaks Spanish, or whoever, your sister only speaks Spanish, your brother only speaks Spanish, they can read it too.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, some of the things that I speak on my book is just like, I don't want to guarantee it, but I'm kind of confident that it's gonna resonate with you to some extent, even if it's not exactly.
Yeah.
You, I'm sure you've seen these injustices happen. Yeah. I'm sure you've seen them.
It's like relatable.
Yeah, to some extent. I hope. I don't want it to be exactly, because you have your own experiences. You have your own identity.
Yeah.
But somewhat, you can see the shared similarities.
Yeah.
So Amazon.com, type in 21 miles of scenic beauty. It'll be the first pop-up.
Yeah. All right. Not 21 Savage. 21. All right. Well, you know what? I mean, before I end it, you know, I love to play a game. Okay. It's called Sevens. All right. For any new listeners, Severance is basically a game that I stole from the Never Not Funny podcast, but I'm giving them credit, so I didn't really steal it. So it's $7, I think. There's a free version, but don't get the free version and buy it, because I mean, we're all independent people. The person that made the app is independent. He's not, has nothing with the podcast. He's just like, he did it for them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the money goes to the Smile Train Foundation. It helps fix cleft palates to, like, I think people in children in South America.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then still fucking support this podcast, right? So basically, Seven is you have seven. It's seven questions. You have 7 seconds to answer each question. The highest score you could possibly get is 49. All right, but on my podcast, the whole purpose for this game is at the end of the year, I'm gonna give my guest with the highest score, I'm gonna give him something. And I told you, like, how I hooked my guests up, you know? And pretty soon you're going to see the Las Dos Albas, how hooked they're up, all right? So when I say I hook people up, I hook people up, right? So basically, all you got to do is beat. The high score right now is 27, set by Luis Octavio from Nos Vemos en el Swap Meet. Mm-hmm. He's the one that, he talked about Oxnard in a little bit. So, I mean, that's a trip to Oxnard. Like, he talked about Oxnard, and you're from Oxnard. man, like synchrodiffity, synchrodiffity,
something like that, huh?
Yeah, it sounds
coincidence. It's like,
yeah, there we go. Yeah. So basically, that's it. So, my advice to you is go for something that you feel I'm gonna be good at, because since I'm giving the clues, it all depends on me. All okay. right. So it's basically a word association game. So I throw out a word, and you give me something that you feel is related to it. You know, like a clue. I'm giving you clues, and you gotta say the word that I'm looking at right now. Mm-hmm. So, the categories are general, movies, TV shows, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, animals, the 70s and 80s and 90s and 2000s, then their corresponding music, stand-up, superheroes, movie action, movie comedy, movie rom-com, movie award winners, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey, alright? So, you got, it's 40, the highest possible score is 49, all you got is 27. So, I mean, you kind of heard me talk. I'm not that smart. So, you make your own choices. So, it's the best of two. So, you're going to have two chances to set the high score, right?
So, we're going to do general.
So, general. Oh, cool. Not a vegetable, but... fuck. I already fucked up, bro.
Oh.
Okay, Adam and Eve, they bit this and apple. They went to hell. Like not Earth, but what's outside of Earth?
Space.
Like Freddy Krueger.
Scary movies.
No, what do they have? What are they? Frankenstein. Serial killers, Dracula. They're unidentified. Oh, they're another word for immigrants.
The aliens. That's messed up though. I don't like that
word. Hey, come on, American.
Read the book.
American, like we played
American. American flag.
What's that? Where
door
what's
that? TV. Oh,
yeah. You don't like that I said aliens?
Nah.
I mean, you got it though.
No, but just because I'm speaking to the people that I have to all study right. The people that I'm trying to speak well, to. Mean, but I don't like that word. Yeah, no, but we good though.
All right, I'm just
fresas y mentiras. Go to that chapter. Fresas y mentiras.
All right, 16 guys, 16. All right, you want to go again? Animals? Because I won't.
I thought I was gonna be giving you the clues. To be honest with you, but
no. I told you it depends on me.
Okay, all right then.
So what's up? Do you want to go back again?
Yeah, let's do general again.
Not to offend you again.
Nah. We good.
All right, cool. Hey, I don't make the rules up. It's just what popped up to my head. All right, I'm not known for being too smart. Oh, you talk that another word for playa, but in English.
Beach.
Not lunch or dinner, but no, it's the first dinner. Meal. The first meal.
Breakfast.
The Eiffel Tower is here. What
Paris.
The president we had before, the one we have now.
Barack Obama.
Like, he sucks your blood. Has
vampire.
It's not Facebook, Instagram.
Twitter.
Where we buy, like, we bid on this place.
No,
we bid,
eBay.
Ooh.
Did I break it?
32.
What's the high score? Did I break it?
32. Fuck, I don't know how my guess is. Prize. I feel that this is going to be the high score all year.
Damn, just give me my prize right now. Where are we on?
All right. I mean, we got to give my other guests a try, but.
What's the high score? Did I break it?
Damn, 32. Dang, that's crazy.
That's what's up, though. And we learned a lesson.
Don't call them aliens, Angel.
Yeah. It's like, yo, they drive spaceships or what?
I couldn't come up with that. Damn. Because
you should have been like space, ugly green, yeah. Ugly green.
They didn't. That's we're talking about culture here, man. Damn. Like that's the first thing.
You're gonna degrade my culture like that.
It's my culture too, but hey, you know I apologize if I offended anybody. My bad.
No, that's cool. It's a lesson learned.
Yeah,
it's a lesson learned.
All right, guys. Well, 32, man. Like I said, I got either take it to New York or take it to Oxnard. Which, I mean, I'll probably take it to Oxnard because. I mean, I want to see the beauty, you know?
Hey,
yeah.
No, right, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I appreciate the support.
Hopefully,
the
I fixed recognition. It. problem. Thank you, man. I know it was a long ass drive, you know?
No,
and
yeah,
what was the name of your friend again? Like,
Liz.
One? Liz. Shout out to Liz, and yeah, I appreciate.
From the Valley.
Yeah, I appreciate you sending it my way. You know, like I never thought I would have an author in my podcast, you know. I feel important. I feel very important. Public figure, guys. Influencer, hey, right here.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
Nah, you're welcome, man. So before I go, I gotta give you my social medias, guys.
All
right. Well, you know, it's time for my plugs. All right, this is where you can find me at letmeknowpod@gmail. I mean, you can find me at letmeknowpod on Instagram and Facebook. If you want to send me an email, maybe you want to be a part of the show, maybe you have a segment. In between, you hear songs. If you want maybe your song featured on the show, send it to me at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. Also, if you want, I have stickers now. So if you would like a sticker, just send me a DM, slide into my DM and get a sticker. Just tell me where you want it and I'll send it right to you. Other than that, I just want to thank you guys. You know, you guys are the best. I want to thank you for the support you guys have given me. But if you please sign, if you could subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on SoundCloud, and maybe share with one of your friends, I would really appreciate it. So I'm gonna leave you guys with that. All right, guys. Till next time, I love you guys. Bye.